At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your daily podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us once again, a game day edition, an early one at that, Hornets taking on the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk about the game. Also going to talk about the magic number for the team. It's down to 14 right now. We'll talk about what that means and whether or not it's time to recalibrate expectations heading down the stretch. Finally, a new episode of Real Access dropped last night. You can watch it on all of the Hornets social media sites as well as Hornets.com. We'll talk about that as well with my producer, Rob Longo, back again here on the HHC. And Rob, let's start off with Real Access. I thought a really fun episode on a not-so-fun topic. It didn't necessarily gloss over the fact that the Hornets had three significant injuries, but it put more of the spotlight on how JB, James Borrego, head coach of the Hornets, and his demeanor helps overcome adversity rather than dwell on it. What were your takeaways?
That was exactly my takeaway. The biggest thing that I saw from it was how confident that this team is, especially like the part where JB was talking about the opportunity that the team had against Boston, which ended up being now last Sunday. We know how that game turned out for the Hornets, and it could have been very easy for some of the players to just not trust in James Borrego's system, and that's been kind of the case all season long in that sense with all of the way that the injuries have piled up and whatnot. But the fact that it seems that every player that was interviewed in the episode is all in on what JB is trying to accomplish here in Charlotte is really promising for me to see. Every relationship in life that I personally feel like is built on some sort of foundation of trust, and it seemed from the episode that JB's done a great job conveying that to his players. And I think that the relationship that he has with general manager Mitch Kupchak as well is an added bonus, because it talked about in that episode when they interviewed Mitch Kupchak was how they're talking about how to manage players that might not be getting the minutes that they want or that they think that they deserve. And I think the biggest example that we've seen of that the past two games has been Jalen McDaniels. I mean, he went in the G League bubble to get some seasoning, hasn't played a whole lot, and then when the injuries piled up, his number was called, and he's played really successfully, stayed ready, he's done a good job, and JB even jokes about it a little bit in that episode of Real Access, saying, yeah, he kept bugging me that, you know, just tell me that you were right. Just tell me that you were right that, you know, we needed to play you all this time. So I think that was really cool to see that behind the scenes look, especially that team meeting the morning before the Oklahoma City game, where you could see the instant reaction of Jalen McDaniels knowing that he was going to get the start. So again, just really fascinated by the way that this team carries itself.
Yeah, it was good to see Jalen McDaniels' instant reaction and just kind of a calm. Jalen's a very laid back kind of guy. He doesn't wear a ton of emotion on his face. Even when he makes big plays or big shots, he's not a yell and scream type of player. He's more a Yeah, I was supposed to do that and run back down to the other side of the floor kind of guy. But going to JB again, and you know, the quote he had was ahead of the Boston game, but it kind of seems like something he would say no matter what the circumstances. No excuses, no complaining, no whining. Great opportunity for every one of us, and control what we can control. You know, another interesting part of it was the episode starts focused on JB and ends focused on JB. And everything in the middle is, you know, kind of life happening. And it's just interesting that, you know, JB is who he is. It's not like he turned on this charm because they had all these injuries and now he's trying to ingratiate himself to the guys at the end of the bench who he never spoke to before. He's always this type of personality. I think that's a special thing. It's an important thing. You have to be honest and genuine in that type of situation where you are in many ways in control of the livelihoods of a lot of people, and they need to trust you and you need to be able to trust them. The final takeaway I had from it, Rob, was as I was watching the episode, I got the thought in my head, is the relationship good because they're playing well, or do they play well because they have a good relationship? I think it's very easy to look at a successful team and say that locker room is great because they're winning all the time. It's not as easy to have a great locker room when you're around 500. And throughout this season, even when this team was below 500, the players always were talking about what a good locker room it was. Players like Malik Monk, who had been up and down in the rotation throughout their careers, were always more on a positive, upbeat swing this year. And I think that's a tribute to JB. And it's paying dividends right now. I think whether they're winning or losing, that's who he is. And it is connecting with this group of players in a way that has led the Hornets to their best first 51 games in the last 20 plus years.
And I think a lot of that can date back to last season when this team was having success before the season was put on pause and they were not invited to the bubble, and they created their own little bubble here in Charlotte and they did a lot of team building and a lot of bonding. I think a lot of that goes back to there, because when you're not preparing for anything in the near future and you're just around your teammates and you're learning about the people that you're with day in and day out with no attainable goal set in the near future, you learn about everybody and you become comfortable with everybody. And I think we've seen that time and time again this season with the success that the Hornets have been able to have despite having a slew of injuries, especially right now, still being a couple of games above 500 and still finding success on some of these players that haven't gotten a ton of playing time up and down the lineup the entirety of the season.
It was honestly one of my personal favorite episodes of the series, and the series has been spectacular. The access that the team has opened up for the video crew, it's almost unprecedented. It really feels like a Hard Knocks training camp, but it's going throughout a regular season in the midst of a pandemic. So really fun stuff. Definitely encourage you to go to Hornets.com, learn a little bit more about the head coach, James Borrego of the Hornets, how the players are interacting with him, and some great insights about, you know, what the winning habits are for not just great basketball teams, but great companies, great families, great people. Much more to talk about here on the HHC. The Hornets' magic number is dwindling. It's down to 14. What does that mean? What should the goals be looking ahead to this next three-game homestand? We'll talk about that next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Buzz City, it's time to return to the Hive. There are a limited number of socially distanced tickets available for each game. Fans can expect enhanced cleaning and disinfection procedures and an upgraded ventilation system at Spectrum Center, because the health and safety of the team, staff, and guests is the top priority at the Hive. Join us Tuesday, April 13th, when the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers come to Spectrum Center to visit your Hornets for an 8 p.m. tip-off. Tickets on sale now at Hornets.com.
Sam Farber and Rob Longo here with you on the HHC. Rob, the magic number is 14, meaning if the teams that the Hornets are competing with for play-in spots, playoff spots, did nothing but win from here on out, the Hornets only need 14 more wins to ensure themselves a seat at the table, if nothing else, the play-in table. Now, given the fact that some of the teams that this magic number is based off of, like Washington and Cleveland and Toronto, have been far from 500 teams so far this season, I think it's a bit of a stretch to assume they'll go unbeaten, but that is how you determine the magic number. But all that said, Charlotte has been able to maintain a top five footing for the last couple of weeks now, but it's not the most secure footing. A little bit more cliffhanger than solid ground that they're hanging on, because despite all of the successes, especially on this last road trip going 4-2. They only hold a one-game lead over teams like Boston and Miami, who most people think are going to start playing better as they start to gel with their new additions, new health, and just start to ramp up for the postseason. So in certain respects, the Hornets are in a very comfortable spot compared to some of the other teams trying to make their way into the tournament. In other, they are still kind of at the mercy of their own injuries and some of these teams chasing them, figuring it out finally.
The thing that I always look at when it comes down to these magic numbers is, what do these other teams that are chasing the Hornets have left on the schedule? You have a team like a Toronto that's just barely trying to crack into the top 10 that is factoring in on a magic number. Let's just take Toronto, for example. They still got to play Brooklyn twice. They got to play the Clippers twice. They got to play Utah once. And then you look at some other teams that are closer, like a Miami, like a Boston. Boston still has some difficult games left on the schedule. Still has to play Denver and Portland twice and the Suns. And they also have to go out and play Brooklyn as well. So, and then you got other teams like Miami who, again, still have to play some heavy hitters. They still got to play the 76ers. They still got to play a similar schedule as what Boston has left too. But then you got some injuries that are starting to pile up a little bit. Victor Oladipo left the game the other night for Miami. He was a big deadline acquisition, but it all comes back to pretty much what JB has said time and time again: control what you can control, control what is in the room, you know, don't listen to the outside noise and that sort of thing. And if you take on that philosophy and you take care of business, the rest will take care of itself.
I think that's fair. And I think, again, the goal for this team throughout the season, we've said it for weeks now, has been to make the playoffs. It's not to make it as a top four seed. That's Boston's goal. Boston, if they end up in the tournament as a six seed, they're going to have some serious work to do. They're not going to look at that as a success, you know, until they see, you know, it's kind of like a March Madness thing. UCLA was probably looking at last season as not a very good one, but then they made the Final Four, so all is right in the world. Similarly for Boston, this regular season has not gone very well. If they end up in the Eastern Conference Finals again, they'll feel a lot better about how things transpired. But for the Hornets, the goal right now is just to get into the playoffs. And so to do that, I think the focus shouldn't really be on Boston and Miami. Again, I think those rosters, those teams are in a different place. They've been in the postseason for a while. They've had success. They made the Eastern Conference Finals, both of them did, in the last couple of years. So, you know, there's reason for them to expect more. For the Hornets right now, not that they're not going to be expecting more once they get there or not be trying to advance as far as they can, but you got to take incremental steps. You don't just jump to the top of the mountain. You got to take all of the necessary steps along the way on the climb. So I pay less attention to Boston and Miami, more attention to teams like Toronto and Chicago that you're trying to keep away from you and keep some distance between so that you have the most advantageous position when it comes to the playoffs or the play-in. And another one is, of course, Atlanta. Atlanta started the season terribly, quite frankly. They came in with a lot of expectations. They're a team that was in a somewhat similar situation to the Hornets in that they hadn't been to the playoffs in a while, but their superstar rookie, Trae Young, has now been in the league for a couple of years. So they started to load up. They made some moves, bringing in Gallinari, bringing in Bogdanovich, trading for Clint Capella. They made some moves in an effort to get that team ready to be in the playoffs. I think they were looking at their season to be more like the one, quite frankly, that the Phoenix Suns have had. Didn't work out at the start. They make a coaching change. Nate McMillan has worked wonders. They're almost 10 games over 500 since he has taken over. And now they're in a tie with the Hornets heading into today's game. So short time frame here to get ready for it. So we're just going to speed ahead to our next segment and we'll talk about the matchup with the Hawks, what it means for the Hornets next here on the HHC.
Hornets fans, during the month of April, the Charlotte Hornets and their official hunger relief partner, Food Lion Feeds, are launching the 2021 Dunk Hunger Food Drive to benefit Second Harvest Food Bank of Metro Atlanta.
The Bridges, who throws it down with the right hand.
For every Hornets dunk this month,
slams it down with two hands.
Food Lion will donate 1,000 meals.
Terry Rozier throws it down over Kevin Durant.
For more information on how you can help Food Lion and the Hornets dunk hunger, visit hornets.com/dunkhunger.
Sam Farber and Rob Longo here with you on the Hornets Hivecast. Rob, ended the last segment talking about Atlanta. This is a team that most experts peg to be better than the Hornets based off their preseason win shares or win totals. But Charlotte has been the better team throughout the season, not just in the standings, but in the head-to-head. They have won the first two meetings. The third one seems like a significant one on paper. because they are tied in the standings. On the other hand, I feel like with the Hornets already winning the season series, they're kind of playing with house money, and this team is still very banged up, the Hornets are. We'll get into the Hawks' injuries in a moment, but still playing without Gordon Hayward, still playing without LaMelo Ball, still playing without Malik Monk, that's a significant amount of scoring to have to overcome, and while the Hawks have injuries too, I don't think you can take for granted that Charlotte, while they've played remarkably well, they're still fighting an uphill battle with all the injuries they're dealing with.
Certainly, but you would also at the same time like to be a little greedy and get that series sweep for the year, you know? But the other thing to look at too is the Hornets still have 21 games left. Compared to Atlanta, the Hawks have 19. So you have that two-game cushion in a sense that you have a little bit more, we'll call it opportunity, to pick up two more wins than maybe the Hawks would. So I think even if you are able to win today, I think it goes just a little bit further because you still have those extra two games to add some ground whenever you might need it down the home stretch.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to look at it. Some people look at extra games as a chance to lose. I look at it the way you're describing. It's a chance to win and chance to put more W's on the board and create more distance between you and the teams they're chasing you. Look, Atlanta's playing well. There's no getting around it. Coach McMillan has been a great coach for a long time. A lot of people thought he got a raw deal in Indiana. He has done a very, very fine job with this Hawks team and has turned their season around. This game, I don't know what it is about getting set to play a shorthanded Hornets team, but everyone seems to be getting hurt ahead of it. Obviously, with the Milwaukee game, all five starters ended up on the injured list. The game coming up after this one, the Lakers, nothing's been made official for Tuesday's head-to-head meeting, but LeBron is still out, Anthony Davis is still out, Marc Gasol is still out, Kyle Kuzma is out. That's a lot of firepower. The Lakers are going to be missing for their game based off the latest reports. Obviously, they're less than 100% then heading into Tuesday against Charlotte. And for Atlanta, similar story. They've got Collins, Dunn, Hunter, Reddish, Snell all out, plus Danilo Gallinari and Trae Young are both questionable. If they're missing all those guys, you get into a Milwaukee situation. Like, who's going in? Who's left on the roster to play?
Well, Gallinari has been questionable for the last two games, and he went out and dropped 20 points coming off the bench and went 4 of 8 beyond New York on Friday. So I'm expecting him to play. Trae Young was also listed questionable. I'm assuming he's going to play as well. I mean, he did have 42 points to go with 8 rebounds and 9 assists in Friday's game as well. So Gallinari and Young, I'm expecting them to play today, but then you take a look at some of the X's and O's in that sort of sense. We know how effective Trae Young is, but ever since that breakout freshman season that he had at Oklahoma, the biggest knock on him has been his turnovers. He had 4 turnovers on Friday, and the way that the Hornets have played defense the last couple of games, I would not be surprised if you see James Borrego trying to pressure Young a little bit, maybe starting to pick and choose the spots where you can double him a little bit and try to force some pressure and force the ball out of his hands. Now, it's going to change if Gallinari is playing and you have a sharpshooter in the corner that can knock down threes. That would be a little bit different. But I would not be surprised if you see the Hornets try to pressure Trae Young a little bit to get the ball out of his hands.
Easier said than done at times. I mean, Zach LaVine went off for Chicago and Trae Young just was a marvelous floor general to help Atlanta to that victory anyways, despite the Bulls star going for a 50-point performance. The Hawks are playing well. There's no getting around it. Hornets are going to have their work cut out for them. I do think with all of the injuries, whether or not those two top-line guys, Gallinari and Young, are able to play, and we're certainly rooting for everyone to have health, so hopefully they can go. But with all the other guys that are already ruled out, it does weaken the bench for Atlanta, and that can be significant because the Hornets obviously are shorthanded, and they've been riding this group with Jalen McDaniels and Miles Bridges in the starting five. Jalen McDaniels has really thrived playing with the playmaking abilities of a Devontae Graham and the other guys in that starting group. Miles Bridges has been outstanding. I get the feeling, though, that he would be outstanding no matter who he's playing with. So if Atlanta were all loaded up, I think there might have been a chance that Miles Bridges slides, or maybe more of a chance that Miles Bridges slides to the second unit just to give a little bit more scoring from that group. But if Atlanta is as banged up as it appears they are, maybe it lessens the pressure to need more scoring from that second unit, and maybe you can continue to depend on those starters to just knock it out of the park the way they have the last two games. Hornets going for a three-game win streak. It is a 1 p.m. tip time. If you are listening to this early enough, go to Hornets.com. You can try and get some tickets, or there are tickets available for the next two games on the schedule, and they're going to be two really fun ones. We're looking forward to having fans back in Spectrum Center for an evening contest Tuesday against the defending world champion Los Angeles Lakers, and then a back-to-back Wednesday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, for ticket information, go to Hornets.com. Rob, thanks so much for joining us again here today on the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course, appreciate you having me as always.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. We will have our post-game podcast for you available tomorrow. We'll talk some more, I'm sure, about Real Access and all things going on with this game. Hopefully, we'll start it off talking about how the magic number is reduced further from 14. Till next time, for everyone here on the HHC, I'm Sam Farber saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you with us today. And in the words of LaMelo Ball,
thank you. Have a good day. Wear your mask.
Thanks for listening to the Hornets Hivecast. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.